Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast, and it is good to be here this evening. And we got a couple things we're going to be doing here before we begin, and we have quite a evening this evening. I'm going to be talking about the sixth part of the lust of the flesh, and we're actually going to be wrapping up the works of the flesh section, and hopefully we will be going on and doing the lust of the eyes and then the pride of life. And I just need to do something here real quick. If my computer will cooperate with me. And as many of you know, I Facebook has sort of put me in a 30-day Facebook jail on my original wall because of a post, quote unquote, didn't meet their standards. So to remedy that situation, I created a whole new wall, a backup wall, and I'm actually using that wall to broadcast my videos, and then I'm using my original wall to sort of forward that along. So both of my walls will be getting this broadcast. So that's kind of why I'm kind of messing around with some technology here and there. So please forgive me. Hopefully here pretty soon that won't be the case. We'll just go back to the original wall. But anyways, so like I was saying, tonight we're going to be talking about the lust of the flesh. And we're going to be wrapping up the works of the flesh. And we are going to eventually here be moving on to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And I want you guys to be in prayer for that. And we will be, hopefully, the Lord willing, we will be doing the pride of life on Friday. Okay, Friday. This Friday. Actually, not the pride of life. It's the lust of the eyes is what we'll be doing Friday. I'm sorry. My mind's going 100 million miles an hour, and I've got so much going on, and I'm kind of staying busy and stuff like that. So we're finishing the lust of the flesh now. The lust of the eyes we'll be getting to on Friday. Now, with that said, I have some announcements I want to make, okay? I had some changes in my life. And some things, I guess you could say, that doors sort of opened, okay? Open doors have sort of appeared. Well, not just appeared, but there's been some open doors that have had some opportunities to sort of expand my broadcasting times. And so one of the things I want to get to is, if the Lord wills, I'm going to be doing another broadcast on Fridays now, and my goal is to be able to start around, we'll probably say about 7 o'clock Central Time. So I'm going to be adding another broadcasting time. The broadcast, this will be an addition to my Sunday broadcast, so every week there will be two broadcasts, okay? There's going to be one on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, and there will be another one on Friday at 7 o'clock Central Time. So pray for me in that. Be in prayer for that. It is something that is a little bit more concrete, something I can kind of focus my attention on, and you pray for me that this will work out. If things need to change, I'll change it. But for right now, we're going to test run this and see how well this goes. And so every week, there's going to be a Friday broadcast in addition to a Sunday. So there's going to be 2 days throughout the week where I will be doing a broadcast. Now, there might be some times throughout the week that I might do the daily Bible reading, which I haven't done in a while, and I need to pick up on doing that again. Believe it or not, it's been a year almost. It's almost been a year since I actually started doing the live Bible readings, and I'm just about halfway through the entire Bible, amen. So just keep me in prayer on that. Keep me in prayer that there be opportunities to do more live Bible reading as well as studying and just being able to get the Word of God out there, amen. Also, with that said, let's see, what else is there? I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Obviously not today, but 1 week from today, I'm going to be going down to Freedom Free Will Baptist Church, and we'll be preaching there at 6:00 p.m. I'm going to try to see if I can set something up to where I can do it live, and if I do it live, it will be on my backup wall, so I'll have to try to forward it or something after I'm done, just so that, you know, but I'm going to try to see if I can set something up to where I can do this thing live next week. So that's coming, that's on Sunday. So if you guys can make it, it's going to be about 6:00 p.m. I'm probably not going to preach till maybe about 6:30. And usually there, I don't preach too long. So probably be about a half an hour sermon. But pray for me on that. Pray that God will sort of work the details out on that. I'm going to see if I can try to get a hold of the pastor and see what I can do to try to record. I'll probably have to use my iPad or something to do it with. And I may have to kind of rearrange some things to where I get where I can get my notes on my phone. That way I can use my phone and stuff like that. So it'd be kind of just easy peasy. Amen. So pray for me on that. So pray for the addition to the weekly broadcasts. Also pray for next Sunday, as I will be preaching. Let's see, what else? What else is there? I don't think I have anything else. I don't think I have anything else, but I guess those are the announcements / prayer requests. But if you can actually pray as per prayer request, you know, pray. I have a dentist appointment coming up on a week from Wednesday. It's nothing major. It's just a 6-month cleaning. But pray that things will go well. Pray that nothing would be found that shouldn't be found. Pray that, you know, there'd just be good news all the way around with that. Amen. So pray for me on that. and then, just pray for my ministry. Pray for these videos. Pray for this message. Just pray that God will just have his way, that God would be glorified, and that, you know, God would just, you know, take these and do a mighty work with them. Amen. So other than that, I think with that said, we'll go ahead and get started here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. That's kind of our text verse, kind of for this section anyways. Galatians chapter 5. Open it here, Galatians 5, and we're talking about the lust of the flesh. Okay, this is the works of the flesh, and we're going to start in verse 17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this, let's see here. Last time we did this, which was about a couple weeks ago, we talked about wrath, strife. I know, we talked about strife, seditions, and heresies. Actually, no, I take that back. We talked about envyings, murders, and sedition. Oh no, heresies, envyings, murders. That's what we talked about last time. We talked about heresies, envyings, and murderers. This week we're going to be talking about drunkenness and revilings, and we're just going to sort of wrap all this up, and then we're going to get into the lust of the eyes. And then we'll get into the pride of life. And depending on how things go, we might get into the pride of life. Let's see here. Oh, man. We won't have a broadcast on Sunday. So that's probably going to be a week from Friday that we get into the pride of life. Okay? So just hang in there and we'll get through this series together. Now, drunkenness. Drunkenness is mentioned 7 times in your King James Bibles. Okay, now obviously, what does it mean? What does drunkenness mean? Well, the definition of drunkenness is really essentially being drunk or intoxicated. That's essentially what it is. that's what drunkenness means. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 19, it says, "It came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst." Now, I'm going to tell you something. God was very, very, very strict about this, especially towards the Levitical priesthood. Okay, so if you actually read the book of the law, now you might say, well, Brandon, you know, that was then and this is now. Well, that doesn't apply to us yet. Sure it does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. If the Old Testament is scripture, it is given by inspiration of God. So if it's given by inspiration of God, it matters. Okay, now, the Levitical priesthood, okay, God had commanded the priests to not drink wine or to drink strong drink. Okay, the reason for that was because the priests had to discern and had to put difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. You see, now one drink will not get you drunk, but one drink can get you hooked to where you can get drunk. Okay? It only takes one to get you hooked. But when you're drunk, you stagger around, you really don't know what right and wrong is. You slur your words, you start going, and you can't think straight, you can't walk straight, you start babbling. You know, that's interesting. You babble on things that you don't even know what you're saying. Okay? So drunkenness is very serious, and drunkenness does not come from God. Okay? Now, you got all these false preachers, like Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, who... Oh, you know what? No. Hang on a second. I could be wrong on them, but Ronnie Howard Brown. For many of you who don't know who that is, Ronnie Howard Brown is a drunkard. Okay, now I don't mean that in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense. Okay, Ronnie Howard Brown has a very weird and odd nickname. They call him the Holy Ghost Bartender because he wants to go around bopping everybody in the head and causing everyone to be spiritually drunk. They laugh hysterically. They laugh uncontrollably. They're rolling on the floor. They're acting like a bunch of animals, and they do all sorts of weird, chaotic things, and they say that's the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you something. God is a God of order. Okay? You know who Satan is? Satan is the god, little g, of chaos and disorder. Okay? Satan is one that is very chaotic. He's very disorderly. And all this nonsense that you see in the churches with people barking like dogs, rolling around like serpents, you know, women walking their husbands like dogs, people laughing uncontrollably, everyone getting bonked in the head, and all these other things. That is not from God. Okay, that's not from God. And actually, we see that all this chaos, all this stuff that's chaos, see, God is not the author of chaos. He's not. Satan is the author of chaos. God is a God of order. And when God orders things, he puts things in order for a reason. Okay? When Satan does things, it's chaos. Think about this. The New World Order. That name in itself is kind of like an oxymoron a little bit. And here's why I say that. Because really, what the New World Order is, the New World Order is essentially chaos. And God's going to use that as judgment one of these days when the New World Order takes fruition. God's going to use that for judgment. And that judgment's not going to be pretty. Okay? Now, so we see that drunkenness is not of God. Okay? It's of Satan. Satan wants to get everybody drunk. Okay? Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." Jeremiah 13, 13, "Then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, and even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness." You know what's interesting? It's as if drunkenness is actually a judgment from God. Think about this. Why do you think all these churches are getting involved with this New Age nonsense and with Howard Brown and all these other weird people? Why do you think God's allowing all that? Could it be that maybe all this drunkenness is God is using as judgment? Because if you think about it, God allows all these false teachers and false prophets to do what they do to test you to see whether you love the Lord or not. So could it be that drunkenness isn't just a sin and isn't just a fleshly work, but can it also be judgment? I'm not saying it is. It's a question I'm posing. Food for thought, okay? Food for thought. Ezekiel 23, verse 33. "Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria." Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 35. "And take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Romans 13, 13 through 14. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So drunkenness is a work of the flesh, as we see in our text this evening. And Paul advises us that we put on Jesus Christ. Amen. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What thing or things can you put on? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God. Paul just said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your armor, folks. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Stop right there for a second. Loins girt about with truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. He is truth. The truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ that was made flesh. Okay? "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." Whose righteousness? It does not say, "and having on the breastplate of your righteousness." It says, "having on the breastplate of righteousness." You have Christ's righteousness, which is your breastplate. Christ's righteousness is your breastplate. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The gospel of peace. Jesus Christ is known as the Prince of Peace. Again, gospel is good news. Okay? And that good news is about Christ. Okay? "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation." Okay? We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." See right here? It's the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. Put ye on Jesus Christ, put ye on the whole armor of God. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. He says to not make provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, when you put on Jesus Christ, when you put on that armor, you won't make provision for that flesh. The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Okay? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to walk, you know, in order for us to not make provision of the flesh, and that's really easy to do, we need to put on Jesus Christ. The question I have for you is, have you put on Jesus Christ? We should all be putting Jesus Christ on. Amen. Now, that's not saying that you are Christ. No. Because you are a man or a woman that has a sin nature that is in need of Christ. Christ is the one that can save you and deliver you from your sins. Amen. Because Christ is that pure and perfect Lamb of God. Now, again, wait, Galatians 5:21, as we had read, it says, "Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." 1 Thessalonians 5:4-7, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." So let's take a look at this for a minute in Scripture. We see that those who are drunk are the children of the night. But God calls His people the children of the day. If those who are the children of the night are drunk, how are they God's people? If the children of the night, which are drunk in the night, say, "Well, I'm God's child," how or why are they God's child if they are the children of the night? We are the children of the day, not the night. Okay? Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Matthew 4:16, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." In John 1:1-5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 1:7-9, okay? "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And John 3:19-21. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." And John 8:12, "And spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And 1 John 1:5-7, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So, as we see that God is light, and we as believers are children of light and not the night, the children of night, or the children of darkness, are those who get drunk and therefore have a father of darkness, which is Satan. Therefore, we can conclude that drunkenness is not of God, but of Satan. And Revelation. Now, when I say that drunkenness is of Satan, here's the thing. Satan cannot force you to do anything. He can tempt you to do things, but he can't force you. People, by their own free will and choice, choose to be drunk. And therefore, they only have one father. Ye are of your father, the devil. and the lusts of your father ye will do. Amen. Now, in Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, okay, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In Revelation 18, verses 3 through 4, For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth were waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice saying from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now I'm going to tell you something. In Revelation chapter 17, we see a picture of that in the book of Genesis. Okay, we see that Mystery Babylon is drunk with the blood of the saints. Now think about this. God says you're not to drink the blood because there is life in the blood. And you see Mystery Babylon getting drunk off the blood or the life of the saints. Think about that. God says you're not to consume any blood. And Mystery Babylon the Great is one who is consuming the blood of the saints and getting drunk off of it. Okay? Now, we see this, we see a picture of this in the book of Genesis. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, 4 through 11. Okay? Now, this is the story of Cain and Abel, okay? Now, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now you see the parallel here. Okay? Mystery Babylon is drunk with the blood of the saints. And in Genesis, we see that God is showing us that the earth is referred to as a her. She opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. There's a parallel there. Amen. In Psalm 107, Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Isaiah 19:14, the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Egypt is a type and picture of the world. I'm going to tell you something. This world is a... The Lord's going to eventually turn this whole world upside down, and he's going to give the wicked people over to a drunken spirit. Amen. A drunken spirit. And we're already seeing that happen. We're already starting to see all the craziness going on this year. And all the nonsense that's going on. People are not thinking logically. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 20 through 21. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be moved like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Jeremiah 51:7, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Think about that for a second. Jeremiah chapter 51 through 50, chapter 51 verse 57, and I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Joel chapter 1 verse 5, awake ye drunkards and weep, and howl all ye drinkers of wine because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 15, and then we'll get into revelings. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Don't try to give your neighbor a drink, because I'm going to tell you something. You do that, you're going to be a stumbling block in their life. You will be a stumbling block. So it's not a good idea to be offering people a drink of wine or alcoholic drink, because you could be a stumbling block. Amen. Now, revelings. Okay, revelings. Revelings is mentioned only twice in your King James Bibles. Okay? The first one of the times it's mentioned is in the verse that we just read in Galatians chapter 5, and it's actually found in verse 21. Okay? It says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, and then the other one is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Okay, revelings is pretty much having a good time basically partying, drinking, and living it up. As the world would say, is living it up and just going full-blown party mode. You want to know something? What does that sound like to you? Sounds like what they do in Vegas. Sounds like what they do in Burning Man and all these other New Age festivals. We got to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, they say that so they can ease their conscience that there isn't a God and that there is no consequence to life. Okay. Many people will say that. They'll say, well, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But what are people really saying when they say that? I think, and this is my opinion, people say, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, and we die tomorrow. Again, they don't want to have to face consequences of their actions. They want to have a cop-out or an excuse to not believe in God. So they say that so they can just have a good time through this life without any consequence, thinking that there is no sin, thinking that everything's all fine and dandy. And sure enough, when they die, they go before Almighty God and they'll give an account for it. You know, I think people need to be very careful. Okay? People need to be very careful when they say stuff like that. Because I'm probably guessing that people who say that, they don't want any consequence. They don't want any consequences. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to think there is consequences. So to ease their conscience and to think that they're good people, they say stuff like that. Christians ought to be very careful to not have that mindset. But let me tell you something. Here's what Jesus says. Okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We're not to lay treasures up for ourselves on earth, but in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, lay up for yourselves treasure, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in through and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I mentioned this just a minute ago, but think about Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada. And all these other places where they have casinos and you know, there's a... See, prostitution in America is illegal. However, there is a place outside of Las Vegas, I don't know where it is, but somewhere outside of Las Vegas where they've legalized prostitution. Okay? That's sick. That's wrong. That's disgusting. Okay? Now, all these people, they eat, drink, take their money, they gamble it all away, thinking that it's their money, they don't belong to God, they don't ever stop and think that the money that they're gambling with is actually really God's money. And it is. It's God's money. We are stewards over that. And no Christian should ever be getting involved with gambling. Okay? In Haggai chapter 2, verses 8, it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." The silver and gold is his, saith the Lord. You know what that means? It means everything you have is not yours. It's God's. So let's not think that we own things when we really don't. Everything that we have because God has given us stewardship over. Amen. Let's go down here. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Also, just as our money is not our own, we also are not our own. These bodies are not our own. I have to take better care of my body. We all have to take care of everything that we are stewards over. Okay? We all have to take care of that. Myself included. Okay? It says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Okay, so we see that people who serve their belly, they're serving another god. Okay, so we're seeing that. There, so what I'm saying is if you're lost, you're still not your own. Ye of your father the devil, you belong to him. But if you are God's chosen, if you are born again and you are God's child, you are God's. No one is ever their own. You either belong to one or two masters. You either belong to God or you belong to Satan. That's it. There is no middle ground. Okay? There is no middle ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you are God's child. But how much more are you the devil's possession if you're lost? In other words, if God's people are, if they belong to God, how much more are lost people belonging to Satan? You're never your own. Okay? You're never your own. Yes, God created you. But if you're lost, you're Satan's property. Because you're lost. If you're born again, you're God's property. But the good news is, you don't have to belong to Satan. If you're lost, you don't have to stay there much longer. you can belong to Christ, and Christ can make you free. Christ makes you free by his word. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if our money is not our own, and if we are not our own, why do we think that we can just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we will die? How can that statement ever exist? As Christians, we need to be about the Father's business. And we're going to wrap it up with these last few verses. Okay? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. We're to go and preach the gospel. We need to be doing something. And not just eating and drinking and being merry that tomorrow that we'll die. You know, as believers, we need to be doing something. Amen. We need to be doing something. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. It says, and he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high." Amen. Listen, guys, as Christians, we need to go out and preach the gospel. We need to go out and we need to serve Christ and tell others about Christ. And we need to be putting Christ first. We need to serve Christ and serve others. Amen. We're not to serve ourselves. We're not to serve our flesh. We need to serve others. And let me tell you something. I know that's hard. It's much easier said than done. Sometimes we all need to just say no to our flesh. Amen. And remember, put ye on Jesus Christ. Put ye on the whole armor of God. And we need to go out and fight that good fight of faith, running our race with endurance, that we may obtain an incorruptible crown. Amen. Listen, guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a little hooligan. That's kind of a funny word, right? Hooligan. Hooligan! Wee-hee-hee! No, I think of a hooligan as someone just with a hood, just, you know, just, I'm just being silly. But listen, guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean. But here's the thing. I don't want you guys taking everything I said in here for truth. Okay? I want you to take what I say and you compare it with the Word of God. If what I say does not match with what this says, then let God be true and let Brandon be a liar. And if I'm wrong, then I pray and ask the Lord will show me that I might repent. And one of these days, I will have to stand before Almighty God and give an account to everything I preached on, everything I said, every idle word, every word, thought, and action I will have to give an account for. I'll tell you, I'm not looking forward to that day at all. But one of those days I will have to. But if I'm right, I pray and ask that God will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. I pray and ask that God will show you what I'm talking to you about. If you guys don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, you'll be saved. And it's all it is, as simple as just going before the Lord, confessing your sins, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, and asking Him to save you. If you cry out to the Lord to save you, He'll save you. Amen. He saved me. And if He saved me, He'll save you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died. He died. He died for you. And you know the good news is, He resurrected on the third day. And you know what? He's not dead anymore. He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. And He's coming again. Amen. He is coming again. He is. Though this time when He comes, He's coming as King. Amen. And He will establish His 1,000-year reign on earth. He will. Listen, guys, I love you. I do. I hope this was a blessing to you. I'm sorry I wasn't as prepared as I would like to be. And if just one person gets it, it was worth it. If anybody gets this, understands it, and knows its truth, it's worth it. Amen. My prayer is that people's lives would be changed, whether if you're saved or not. That lives would be changed as a result of these videos. Amen. But otherwise, guys, that's all I got for tonight. As a reminder, let me just shut this off real quick. As a reminder, there will be a broadcast on Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And 1 week from today, there will be no Fishers of Men. I will be down in Elma at Freedom Free Will Baptist. I'll be preaching down there. So there will be no broadcast 1 week from today. There will be the preaching, and then Friday will be another broadcast. So hope that you can all tune in for that. Other than that, that's going to be it for tonight. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a blessed evening, and we'll see you Friday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love you.